Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Miami Vineyard, so good to see you, and so good to see those of you online. My name is Kevin, I'm one of the pastors, and I want to talk to the online audience for just a moment. If we're going to be taking communion at the end today, so if you want to grab some wine, grab some juice, some crackers, some coffee, you can join us at the end with communion. So, here we go today. I'm going to push through this voice. So, how many of you recognize this? Yeah. What is it? All right. Now, how many of you had one of these growing up? Can I see your hands? Had one of these growing up? Thank you, everybody over 40. Thank you very much. Yes. Look, back in the day, every home had one of these. Not two, not three, but one. We had one. It was attached to the wall, attached to maybe on a desk. But here's the deal with this phone. When you talk on it, you couldn't walk anywhere you wanted to go. The phone was there. You can only go, what, as far as the receiver, the cord lets you go. You can only go this far. And you had to stay in this area talking on this phone. One phone, this area. Of course, now we got cell phones, and you're in your purse, in your pocket right now. And you're going, Pastor Kevin, why would anyone want to be tethered to a phone like this when you could be free? That's a great question. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. This weekend, we're continuing our series that we're calling Say Your Prayers, where we're looking at the most famous prayer of all time. Some call it the Our Father. Some call it the Lord's Prayer. You just heard on the video before I walked out here, Our Father who art in heaven. Now, so many people have said this prayer. They've recited this prayer. They've heard this prayer. But you know what? Most people haven't taken the time to think about the words in the prayer, because the words are powerful. So what we've been doing over the past 6 weeks is we've been unpacking what's in that prayer, just unpacking that prayer, verse by verse, line by line. And we said this, that these 52 words in this prayer can change your life. So we are in part six today. If you missed any of the first five parts, you've got to go to our YouTube channel. Just search Miami Vineyard on YouTube. Go to our website. You've got to get the first five parts of this series. But today, part six, we come to what I consider to be the most challenging part in the whole prayer. It goes like this: Father, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. You might have heard it this way: Father, forgive us our trespasses, right? As we forgive those who trespass against us. Father, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. This is the most powerful, challenging part of the entire prayer. I want to talk about that today. But before I do that, I'd love you to locate some message notes. Now, message notes are not printed. They're virtual. You can find them on our Miami Vineyard app. So if you haven't downloaded the app, go to the App Store, search Miami Vineyard. Or if you're in the room today, this card and the seat back in front of you, scan this QR code. You can download our app. On the app, tap on This Weekend, tap on Message Notes, and they'll be right there for you. So, Father, our Father, forgive us our debts, just as we have forgiven our debtors. You know, this forgiveness thing is not easy. It's not easy for anybody. I don't care if you've been you're brand new Christian, you're not yet a Christian, or if you've been a Christian for 40 years, can I tell you, this forgiveness thing is not easy. And it never gets any easier. I don't know why it is, but why do we want so much? When somebody does something, we just want to hang on to it. We want to hold on to it. We think somehow that's better, but it's not. This forgiveness thing is so difficult. So we're going to talk about this today. But back in Jesus' day, somebody ran up to Jesus and said this to Jesus. We pick it up on your outlines in that first verse. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Now, we don't know if Peter actually meant his literal brother or sister, but we do know that Peter had a brother. His name was Andrew. And here's what studies say. 90% of resentment in our life, 90% of it begins in the family. 90%. Why? Because we're with people all the time. We're getting on each other's nerves all the time. 90% begins in the family. So let me take a little poll here today. How many of you would say that at some point in your life, you've been offended by a family member? Can I see your hands? You've been offended by a family member. Okay, if your hand's not up, you're dead. How many of you would say you're sitting next to that family member right now? Now look, if you're online with us right now, joining us online, just put that person's name in the chat. Just put them on blast right now for everybody to see. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm just playing. Just playing. Don't do that. Now, so we get back to the story. So Peter comes to Jesus and says, how often should I forgive somebody? Up to seven times? Now, Peter here is being extremely generous because back in the culture of that day, they had a saying that you should forgive somebody up to three times. So he's saying, I'm going to double it and add one for good measure. How many times, Jesus? Seven times? And then Jesus blows Peter's mind. Poof! He says, Peter, not seven times, but 77 times. Some translations say 70 times seven. Either way, it's just this infinite number of times. Just blew his mind. And here's what Jesus is saying about forgiveness. If we're keeping score, it's not really forgiveness. If we're keeping score, it's not really forgiveness. Because the Bible says that love keeps no record of wrongs. If we're keeping score, it's not really forgiveness. And then Jesus goes on and tells a story, as he often did, to illustrate his point about forgiveness. We pick up the story in Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to want to read a little bit of the story to you today. Starting in verse 23, he said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Now pause in that story for just a moment. So the king says, hey, creditors, it's time to pay back what you owe me. And he called in somebody who owed him 10,000 talents. Do you know how much 10,000 talents is in today's dollars? $3.4 billion. So Jesus just picked this total that was crazy. When he said that total back in the day, everybody thought, Jesus, come on, man, that crazy. That total's crazy. $3.4 billion. And he called him and said, pay me what you owe me. And back in the day, if you couldn't pay what you owed him, you got sent to prison till you paid it off. Obviously, there's no way that this guy could ever pay this off. Some of you are thinking right now, well, bankruptcy, dude. Okay. Back in the day, there was no bankruptcy. You were sent to prison till you paid it off. So we pick up the story. So this man, $3.4 billion, the servant fell to his knees before the king. Be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay back everything. Now, back in the day again, and when Jesus is telling the story, people are laughing at this time because they know there's no way ever somebody's going to pay this back, 10,000 talents, or pay back $26 billion, $3.4 billion. There's no way anybody's going to ever pay that back. And then look at verse 27. He said, be patient with me. And he begged, and I'll pay back everything. Then the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Cancel the debt. Now think about it. When you cancel the debt, it doesn't mean that it just got erased. Debt never just gets erased. If you loan somebody $1,000 and you say, you know what? I'm just going to cancel that debt. That doesn't mean there's no money. That means you paid the $1,000. Somebody has to pay that price. The king paid that price. Some of you are putting this together right now. When the Bible says that God forgave us of all our sins, he canceled the debt, somebody paid that price. Jesus Christ paid that price. When he gave his life for us on a cross, he paid the price. There's always a price to be paid when debt gets canceled. So, Jesus paid that price. He paid that price. And so, he canceled the debt. He paid it all. Now, why? Why in the world would anybody do that? Some of you today, we talk about this forgiveness. People have done things to you. And can I just say, as your pastor, I'm so sorry. Some of you had things done to you that should never be done to another human being. And I just want to say to you, I'm so sorry. But we're thinking about all the stuff that's done. Why in the world do I want to let that go? Why in the world would I ever want to forgive somebody? I just want to hang on to it. I just want to let it in on the inside. Why would I ever let it go? I want to give you three reasons today from this story why it's important for you and I to learn to forgive. Here we go. If you're taking notes, here's the first reason. Here's reason number one. Because God forgives me. God forgives me. He has forgiven me many, many times. He has forgiven you many, many more times. Some of you get that a little bit tomorrow. So in this story, the servant's master had pity on him. Notice as in verse 27, the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. I mean, that's quite a gift. $3.4 billion is just gone. But you know what? That's nothing compared to how much God has forgiven us for. When we understand how much God has forgiven us for, it's a game changer. It changes everything. And God has decided to forgive us off everything we've ever done wrong. Just wipe the slate clean. Now think about the guy in the story. He's just been forgiven $3.4 billion. How would you feel if all of a sudden every debt you ever had was wiped clean? Exactly how you'd feel. I mean, think about it. Every mortgage payment, gone. Rent payment, gone. Car payment, gone. Credit card payment, gone. School loan, gone. Back taxes, gone. So talk to me. How would you feel? Talk to me. Right, there's not even a word you use. I heard this. Somebody, what was this over there? Say it again. Relief. Woohoo! Yeah, that's the word. Exactly, that's the word right there. That's how you'd feel. When your debt is wiped clean, that's exactly how you feel. So you would think, right? You would think that the guy in the story who is forgiven $3.4 billion, you would think that this guy would go, woohoo! And he would be the most forgiving person ever. But you know what? This guy didn't do that. In fact, look what happened in the story. We pick up the story, verse 28 to 30. This same guy, verse 28. But when the servant went out, he left the king. Just been forgiven. He left the king. When he went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him, began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. Now, 100 denarii back in our dollars today is about 26,000. Now, that's no chump change, but that's a whole lot different than 3.4 billion. So he finds a guy who owes him $26,000 and he begins to choke him. Now, what's really weird about the story is back in Jesus' day, if somebody owed you money, you could actually find them and choke them for the money. Now, let me just say today, if you know people in here that owe you money, this is a no-choke zone. I just want you to know. No choking happening in this room today. Can you believe this guy? Now, what is going on with this guy? How can this guy be forgiven $3.4 billion? Immediately go out and find a guy who owes him $26,000 and chokes him for the money. What is happening? So, I mean, we don't know 100% what's happening, but I have a theory. Here's what I think is going on. I don't think the guy who was forgiven the $3.4 billion really believed it. I don't think he believed it. I think he heard the words, but I don't think the words ever got inside. I don't think he believed it. I think he thought there was going to come a day when that king is going to change his mind and he's going to want my money back. So I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get all the money that people owe me and I'm going to get it back. I really don't think he felt forgiven. And here's the deal. When we don't feel we're forgiven, we tend to be unforgiving. Think about it. When we don't feel forgiven, we tend to be unforgiving. When we don't feel grace and mercy, I don't want you to feel it either. When we don't feel released of mistakes, I don't want you to be released of yours either. And I think this is one of the big reasons we have such a hard time forgiving people, because we simply don't feel forgiven. You've probably heard this before. Hurt people hurt people. But you know what else is true? Forgiven people forgive people. Forgiven people forgive people. And I think so many times we have such a hard time forgiving because we simply don't feel forgiven. I remember the day when I understood this, what I'm telling you right now, when it made sense to me, when I got it, when I felt it. Now, I'd been a Christian for many years. I had even been serving as lead pastor of this church for years. I was teaching the Bible, teaching stories like this, but I didn't really get it until one day after reading a story like this. I don't know, something happened to me. And for the first time in my life, I understood how much God forgave me for. And I'm telling you, it was a game changer. You can ask my wife. She can tell you the exact day it happened. It just changed me. It absolutely changed me. When I understood how much God forgave me for, and then I wanted to forgive everybody else around me. So church was real small back in the day, just getting started, but this one couple came up to me and said, hey, we'd love to talk to you. I said, okay. So we scheduled an appointment. They came in. They said, Pastor Kevin, we want to apologize to you for something we said, something we did. And we want to ask you for forgiveness. And I said, I forgive you. They said, well, you didn't even know what we said. What we did. I said, it doesn't matter what happened. I said, I already forgive you. Well, they said, well, can we tell you anyway? Because, you know, we just want you to know. I said, okay, you can tell me. And after they told me, I didn't want to forgive them anymore. I'm just kidding. But can I tell you, when we understand the depths of how much God forgave us for, we tend to be much more forgiving for other people. So first reason why I need to forgive, number one, because God forgives me. But here's the second reason. Because resentment is self-torture. Resentment is self-torture. You realize resentment? I mean, I don't know why, but we love to hold on to things, don't we? We love to. But resentment doesn't hurt the other person. It only hurts us. We're the only ones who get hurt by resentment. It doesn't mess with the other person. Resentment just keeps making us the victim. And every time we think about that person, every time we think about what they did, we replay the incident over and over and over again. We replay the hurt over and over again. We're stewing and being all upset while they're going on with their life. See, imagine this phone is the event. Did something, said something happened. And we don't forgive. Look, we're tethered every time their name comes up, every time you see them on Facebook, every time you see them on social media, every time somebody talks about them, you're going, oh, that person did this. Over and over and over again. And every time it happens, you're tethered. Listen, God wants you to move on with your life, but you can't move on because you're still stuck in the past. Folks, today is the day. It's time to move on with life. Today's the day. Today's the day. Resentment. You know what resentment's like? Resentment is like me drinking poison and expecting them to die. That's what it's like. Resentment always hurts me more than them. It always messes up my life way more than their life. Somehow we think that if I'm resentful, I'm getting back at them. You're not getting back at them. They're moving on with their life. We're just getting back at us. Resentment is like a cancer on the inside. It can literally eat you alive. Listen to this study that was done by Stanford University. Now, this isn't some Christian study about... This is a Stanford University doing a study about bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness. And here's what Stanford came up with. Listen to this conclusion. There is an enormous physical cost to holding on to bitterness. They link carrying around resentment to higher levels of diabetes and higher levels of cancer. Just from carrying around bitterness and resentment. Some of you know this. You know, when we carry around this, you know, we that person's name comes up and we say, man, they're a pain in the neck. Or some other part of the anatomy. And so back to our story. The king learned that this guy went out and choked this guy for $26,000. So he called the guy back in, the first guy. And the king is livid. He is mad. He is angry. And look what he says. Look what he says on your outlines in verse 33. Look what he says. He said to the guy, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured. Now that word jailers literally means, that word jailers in the Greek language literally means torturers. That he literally means torturers. Here's the point. When we don't forgive, we become tortured with our own resentment. Now, I've been doing this pastoring thing now for 30 years. I started when I was 5. If you're doing your math, can I speak to you? Can I speak to you for just a moment? Of a guy who's been doing this 30 years. To you here, to you online. 30 years. Talked to thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people over those 30 years, maybe 100,000 people over those 30 years. And here's one thing I can tell you, one thing I've learned. Far and away, this one thing will cause more damage to people's lives than anything else. And it is simply this: unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, far and away, will cause more damage to your life than anything else. It'll rob you of your joy. It'll rob you of your life. It'll rob you of your happiness. It can even rob you of your health. It can destroy your life. Unforgiveness. And so I'm asking you, as your pastor today, been doing this for a lot of years, will you forgive? I'm begging you, will you forgive? Now look, I know some of you had some things happen, as I mentioned before, to you in your life that should never be done to another human being. And can I say again, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But let me also say this. If you don't forgive, you're going to carry that around with you for the rest of your life. But let me explain something to you. Let me explain something. There's very, very crucial understanding here. There is a difference between forgiveness and trust. Forgiveness is instant. Trust takes time. You can forgive someone, but that does not mean that you have to trust them again. Sometimes I'll talk to somebody, and one person is abusing the other person. And you know, they're gone. But the abuser comes back and says, well, you're a Christian. You're supposed to take me back in. Oh, no, 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 no. You can forgive without trusting again. In fact, some of you should never trust again. You can forgive, but that doesn't mean you have instant restoration of the relationship again. Forgiveness is instant. Trust takes time. And I hope that this helps some of you today as you progress, you process through this. There is a difference. There is a huge difference. But can I tell you, forgiveness is so important. Look what this next verse says. It says, some people stay happy until the day they die. Others have no happiness at all. They live and die with what? Bitter hearts. I've performed way too many funerals over my days as well. One of the saddest things is to just see the bitterness I see sometimes in families and things that happened in that time. It's just unforgiveness. They're carrying around stuff. They just haven't let it go. They just haven't forgiven. They live and die with bitter hearts. See, we do have a choice. We can become bitter or we can become better. The only difference between those two is the letter I. I make the difference. Will I be bitter or will I be better? And some of you, look, I realize, is everyone going, Pastor Kevin, you have no idea what they did to me. You're right, I don't. I don't have any idea. But I know this. If we don't forgive, we're going to carry around that pain with us the rest of our lives. Today's the day when you can begin the process to be set free. Today's that day. You can begin that process. by simply saying, I forgive you. I let it go. Now, just because we forgive, just because we say the words, doesn't mean that it always happens instantly. Forgiveness is instant, but the effect on our life can sometimes take time. I had someone who hurt me very badly, and I forgave them. I told them I forgave them, and I told God I forgave them. But come up all the time. I got this on the inside, like I just wanted to kill them all over again. You know what I'm talking about. And I say, so I forgive so-and-so again. So then I think, yeah, I'm good to go. And then talking about their name comes up again. And over and over and over again. And so, but every time it happened, I said, I forgive so-and-so. I forgive so-and-so. And then one day, I don't know what it was. One day, I'm standing in Subway of all places, Subway restaurant. I'm standing in line waiting to get a sub sandwich. And all of a sudden, the guy's name pops into my mind again. I don't know, I think somebody in line reminded me of him. You know how those things go. And I said, in the middle of Subway, I'm not out loud, but just inside, I'm standing in Subway, I said, I forgive so-and-so again. And when I did that, I don't know, this was about the 225th time I said it. But I'm telling you, as I'm standing before you right now, it's like scales came off of me, just fell off me to the ground, and I was free from that. So look, you may have to forgive that person again and again. It doesn't mean you didn't mean it the first time. It just means that sometimes it takes time for our body to catch up with what we're telling our bodies to do and our minds to do. So keep forgiving. That's why, come to Jesus. Jesus, how many times should I forgive somebody? 7 times? Jesus said 77 times. Meaning you might have to forgive again and again and again. So why must I not forgive? Because God forgives me, because resentment is self-torture. Here's number 3 in the backside. Because I need forgiveness every day. I need forgiveness every day. Father, forgive us our debts, just as we also have forgiven our debtors. Father, forgive us our trespasses, just as we also have forgiven those who trespass against us. Look how Jesus concludes his story about this guy, that $3.4 billion dude. Look how he concludes. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Can you say, I forgive you, and not mean it? Absolutely you can. My kids were getting stuff all the time. I bring them to me. Okay, tell them I forgive you. I forgive you. Tell them you're sorry. I'm sorry. Neither of them meant it. Can we mouth the words, I forgive you, and not mean it? Yes. That's why he says in this verse, he says, unless you mean it from your heart. The greatest distance on planet Earth is the distance between the mind and the heart. That 18 inches is the greatest distance on the planet, because things have to move from here to here. And when it moves to here, you got it. But it starts here. It starts with a choice. I forgive you. And it may just, you may have to grit your teeth. I forgive you. But I'm telling you, If you will let it travel from here to here, you will eventually feel it in your soul. Father, forgive us our debts, just as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. Now, do you realize when we pray that prayer, we've never thought about it, we pray that prayer, we're asking God to forgive us like we forgive other people. Father, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven other people. God, forgive me like I'm forgiving others. Do you really want God to forgive you like you're forgiving others? Because that's what the prayer is about. God, forgive me like I'm forgiving others. Now, God doesn't forgive you that way. He forgives you the way he wants to, which is fully, completely, totally, and everything else. But we're asking God, I want your forgiveness the same way I'm dishing it out. So I want to encourage you today. Forgive. and let them go. It will be the healthiest decision you ever make. Some of you going, Pastor Kevin, I have tried, but Pastor Kevin, what they did to me, there is no way I could ever forgive them. You know what? You're right again. There's no way you could ever forgive them. But there is a way that the Spirit of the living God working in you could forgive them. That's the beauty of being a Christian. The power of the living God in you to accomplish what you can't accomplish, but to accomplish what God can. The power of a Christian. See, we're not just a Christian in name only. We're a Christian because we get the power of the living God living within us to accomplish things that we could never accomplish on our own, but only that He can accomplish through us. Jesus Christ wants to give you the power to forgive. He does. He wants to give you the power to forgive. So I want to invite us to do something here today. I want to invite us to take communion together right now. So when you came in the doors today, I hope you received one of these purple cups of juice, but if you did not get one of these, just put a hand up in the air right now. Anywhere you are in the room, put a hand up in the air. People are going to come around to you, give you one of these. Don't be shy. There's hands up all over. So we got some people coming around now, giving out some communion. Here they come. Here they come. Just keep a hand up. Don't be shy. They're coming around. I see one person coming around. Two over here. Okay, they're coming around. Just keep a hand up. Keep a hand up. They're going to get to you. Now, if you're at home with us right now, please find some juice, find some cracker, find a bread, find whatever, anything to drink, something to eat. Take communion with us if you're at home with us right now. You got time. Go get it. Go get it. You got time. Please take communion with us right now. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. They're coming around. Here they come. We got some people up front here. Still coming. Up front here. Up front here. Over here we got some. They're still coming. Some over here on this side. Okay, let me try to use this. Take the clear one and pull that one back and open that one up and expose a white wafer. Don't take the wafer yet. We're going to take it here together in a second. And then take the purple one and pull that one back and expose the juice. Again, don't take it yet. We're going to take it here in a second. And would you pray with me? Would you bow your heads right now with me? Would you pray with me in the room, at home, wherever you may be? Father, we've covered some stuff today. This forgiveness thing is so difficult because we want to hold on. We want to get them back. There's this justice thing in our world. We just want to get them back. They did to us. We should do it back to them. But God, we know that resentment never works. Resentment is a poison that eats us alive. And Jesus, today, you've given us a different way to live. A better way to live. A totally different way to live. A way to live that it's called forgiveness. To live freely, to live lightly, to live freely through forgiveness. So what I want to ask you to do right now as we prepare for communion is, as I've been talking for the last little while and even during the prayer right now, if there's anybody that comes to your mind that just kind of, I want you to forgive them. Just, again, not out loud, but just inside, say, I forgive so-and-so. Go ahead, just inside right now. All these people coming to your mind, I forgive so-and-so. I realize you might have forgiven them before, as I've done. Just forgive them again right now. I forgive so-and-so. I forgive so-and-so. I forgive so-and-so. And Jesus, I pray right now that you would give us the power to forgive that person, perhaps for the first time in our life. Right now, as we're praying, would your power, would your presence, God, come that we could forgive that person maybe for the first time ever? because what they did to me, what they did to my family was so horrendous, was so tragic. I could never forgive them before today. Maybe today's your day. Maybe today is your day. That nobody's here by accident. You're here today because God wanted you to be here today in this place, in this room, at this time, right now. God, I believe that through this place and at home, wherever you may be, there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness happening. There's freedom happening. There's a beginning stages of people being set free and let go, that we could live life, that we don't have to be tethered to this phone anymore, that we can go on, we can live our lives. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in our place, in our space, God, right here, right now. Thank you, God. Some of you need to forgive somebody that you don't even know because of the things they've posted on social media. You need to just forgive that person. You don't even know who they are, but you know what they post. Just forgive them. If you find yourself filled with anger and filled with resentment, you know those are the two things that says, okay, I gotta forgive. I gotta forgive. I gotta forgive. I gotta forgive. I can't let this fester inside of me. I gotta let it go. Jesus, we thank you today for your power to be able to forgive. Thank you for forgiving us, that you gave your life that we might have life. So you may want to grab that wafer that you have there with you. So on the night before Jesus went to the cross, he was gathered with his closest followers. He took a loaf of bread, he broke it. He said, take this and eat this. And every time you do this, he said, remember me. Let's take this right now. Let's remember Jesus together. After the bread, he took a glass of wine. He said, this wine represents my blood, which is going to be shed for you for the remission, for your forgiveness of sins. Everything you've ever done, do, or will do, will be completely forgiven. But what I'm about to do on the cross, he said, every time you drink this, do this in remembrance of me. Let's take this together right now. Let's drink this together right now. And would you pray with me for just a few minutes more, just another minute? Just take a moment. Jesus, we thank you for paying the ultimate sacrifice for us. You gave your life that we could have life. You forgave us so we could be forgiven of everything we've ever done. You gave your life that we could have life, that because you forgave us, we now can forgive others. We no longer have to be held hostage by our own unforgiveness and by our own resentment. But we can be set free. And we can set them free. We can set them free. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of forgiveness. And I pray all these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. And we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week, and thanks again for listening.